In today's recording, we're talking to Karis Twyman, who joined the school as a very young pupil and left in 2019 as head girl. Let's find out about her journey through school. Come with me into this episode right now.
Welcome to Mount Kelly Conversations, the podcast from Mount Kelly in Devon. In each episode, we have conversations with pupils, with staff, and with other people in the school community to find out more about life at the school. Come with us now as we get right into this episode.
Karis, welcome onto this episode of the School Podcast. Thank you for being here. How are you today?
I'm very well. It's an early morning, but thank you very much for having me this morning.
It's very early morning. For the sake of people listening, we're recording this at 6:30 in the morning. Karis, that's because you're going to be dashing off to work soon. Is that right?
Yeah, so I still work a lovely 9 to 5 in a hospital. So got to go into the wards this morning.
Okay, which hospital is that then?
So I'm currently based at Mount Gold Hospital, which is in Plymouth, for those that don't know the area. So I've only been started there since September. So I'm a freshly, newly qualified pharmacist that I'm sure we'll get to at some point later. So it's my first sort of big girl job on a big girl wage, which is quite nice, I'm going to be honest. But yes, that's where we'll be going this morning.
Fantastic. Now, you were at Mount Kelly and you left Mount Kelly in what year?
2019.
And I understand, because the school's given me a couple of notes about you, that you joined the school back in a long time ago, back in 2004, is that right?
Yes, that most probably sounds about right. So I think I joined when I was around 2.5 years old, and I went right the way through till I was 18. So I've sort of done the full start to finish.
Wow, for your entire childhood being at Mount Kelly, which means you went through all of those changes that all of us go through when we are children, and then you emerged as an adult before going off to somewhere else. Tell us a little bit about your journey. I mean, clearly you won't remember, or I presume that you won't remember back when you were 2.5. But what is your earliest memory of being at school?
Gosh, I still think I remember parts of nursery, as odd as it sounds, because there was one other boy who went right the way through Kelly with me. So that was sort of playing, I think we were playing some sort of washing up thing with in nursery, washing up plates. And that went right through, and obviously playing in sandpits and climbing trees. And all I remember really of primary school was just playing out in the field, and it was always sunny, which I sort of as an adult look back and then go, you were an idiot. It was never really that sunny in Tavistock. But that's all I really remember of primary school, just having a good time and it always being hot and warm playing on the school field.
Okay, so then clearly as you go through school, you grow up, you go through different year groups as you get older, and then you started stepping into music. Is that right?
Yeah, well, both my parents are both musicians, professional musicians. My mum, ironically, was my primary school music teacher at Kelly. So I think having music in my blood was sort of part of the parcel of being born into my family. And obviously then my mum being my teacher at school. So that was something that I sort of progressed through as I got older, and then became slightly better at it as I got older. And then went for a music scholarship on the transition from what was year 6 into year 7, which I think now is year 8 into year 9.
Okay, right. So first quick question, what was it like having your mum as a teacher? Was that quite nice, or was that a bit embarrassing?
I think my mum wasn't one of the uncool teachers, so I think that was always a blessing, I suppose. I always thought she was being really harsh on me.
Oh.
But then I was probably just 7 years old and still thought she was my mum and not at work. But no, I enjoyed it, and it was always good fun, actually, because most probably music and drama was one of the fun lessons where you just got to have a bit of fun. Yeah.
And which instruments, or was it your voice that you were learning to play when you were at school there?
So I played flute for many, many years. I still sort of dabble in the little free time that I have. So flute, I picked up saxophone in sort of my middle years and did a bit of jazz band and things, especially in Plymouth and the wider community. And then the singing sort of always gone through, even though at 6:30 in the morning my voice sounds awful. But we've always sort of sung, and that sort of went through as well.
Oh, it's all right. We're not going to ask you to perform part of Mozart's Requiem or anything at all like that. And which of those instruments do you enjoy the most?
I think as an instrument, I enjoy the flute, but actually the joint element and being able to enjoy music as a community and as a team would have to be singing, particularly in big choirs. Absolutely love it.
Because sometimes people sing in choirs with, say, 15, 20 people, like a small chamber choir. Other times, big choral societies with, 300 people. Which is your preference there?
I've been fortunate enough to sing in both. So at school, we did the chamber choir and we were able to do a lot of sort of trips and competitions with that. And then part of a wider community that my singing teacher from Kelly got me into was being able to perform at BBC Proms the opening night for a huge choral event with the full BBC Proms orchestra, organ, the full works. So I think if I'm comparing those two, it'd have to be the huge BBC Proms experience. But then for the community aspect and keeping that sort of more as a hobby, I think it would be chamber music. Mm. So a bit of a split decision. If it's going to be BBC Proms, I'll choose BBC Proms every day. If it's going to be the day-to-day,
And the chamber. BBC Prom event, was that, I'm presuming that was in the Albert Hall instead of Cadogan Hall?
Yes, it was in the Royal Albert Hall.
What was it like singing there? Because that's an incredible venue, isn't it?
It was sort of pinch yourself moment. It was just incredible. So I think it was an hour or maybe 45 minutes to an hour, the works that we performed.
Oh, wow.
John Adams was our conductor and our composer, and it was just incredible. Mm. Yeah, real pinch yourself moment.
Okay. And we're not going to talk about music all the way through this podcast, but if I asked you one of your favourite composers of music to sing, who would you say?
I'm going to go a bit rogue and go for sort of more... Most probably anything from sort of more contemporary, sort of musicals. I really love musicals nowadays, or anything John Rutter. I quite like John Rutter.
I mean, you can't go wrong with John Rutter.
No.
Especially at Christmas. He's done a great Requiem as well. Okay, right. Let's carry on talking then, because otherwise we could just talk about music the whole way through this. Now, it wasn't just music that you were into at school, was it? Tell us a little bit more about some of the activities that you were involved in there.
Yeah, so I was one of those children at school that was permanently busy and running here, there and everywhere, quite literally, in between. So obviously I did all the music. I did all the sports as well. So I was a hockey captain by the end. Did a lot of netball. I wasn't very good at netball because I think I just got too competitive. But I really had a good go. In my younger years, I did a lot of cross country and athletics and then realised that running is far too much effort. So switched to shorter running activities like hockey. I also did all the outdoor ed, so all of the 10 tours, D of E, DW, CCF, and then I also did sort of the slightly off the beaten track. So I also did things like school council, and by the end of my school time, there was something called Medical Society that we sort of got up and running and did as well for those students that were interested in medical careers. Mm. So I did basically a little bit of everything at school.
Okay. Gosh, okay, right. So, and one of the things that the school often talks about is the provision for outdoor ed. Mm. I mean, you're someone who's gone through the school and sounds like you were deeply participating in that. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what it was like being at a school which does have that provision for outdoor ed as opposed to a school that might be in the middle of a city or something like that.
So I think the setting obviously will have a huge part to play. So we were fortunate enough. I mean, I still live on the moors. So that was always sort of deep rooted within my family unit as well, was enjoying and having a love for the outdoors and particularly Dartmoor. But obviously the location of the school really sort of plays on that as well. There's always seemed to be at Kelly a culture, not just with outdoor ed, but just with everything. There's always been a culture of we just try things and we just do things. And it's not weird and it's not quirky if you want to try 10 tours. It's just part of the culture that we all try a little bit of everything. So I think that was sort of really beneficial because everyone just did 10 tours. Everyone just did CCF. And then, yes, I continued and carried on. But sort of getting into it, it was really sort of set up by the school to just enjoy it, embrace it. And if you learn anything from it, great. And if all you learn from it is that you don't like it, then you've still learned something. So, yeah, there's always been that sort of ethos that we just give everything a go, which has been really beneficial.
That's an amazing attitude, isn't it? And, you know, clearly you are a pupil who seems like you enjoyed your time at school.
Definitely.
And I mean, by the very fact that you're here talking on a podcast is an indication of that as well. But I imagine that that's not unusual for someone of your age to have gone through Mount Kelly, to have enjoyed all of these different activities, that outdoor education, the medical society, that just all of that just being part of that culture. I mean, tell us how you feel that's changed you as a person who's now stepping out into the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely teaches you a lot about yourself. I mean, you can only learn so much about your character sat in a classroom, and actually what builds the person beyond just academics is the extracurricular. You know, even in primary school and lower years, we had sort of very peculiar and quite niche things like sewing and thing and chess. And yes, I was part of and it was great, but actually it sort of gave everyone the opportunity to feel good at something. And mm-hmm. I think that's what Kelly was really good at. And yes, Outdoor Ed was a huge part, but actually not everyone was into Outdoor Ed. And I loved music. So for a school to be able to cater for both quite different things was amazing for me. But it allowed me actually sort of, as I look now, to sort of grow as a person, to build my confidence, build my public speaking, you know, even with sort of 10 tours when I was team captain, standing in front of the team and going, no, we're going this way. And, you know, it turned out great. But, you know, to have that confidence and that self-belief, I think there are those transferable skills that have come through of, okay, when times are tough with my degree, actually, it can't be as bad as 10 tours 55. So just got to keep pushing on and persevere and sort of keep going.
And tell us about your last year at school. What was that like then?
It was my A-level year, so that's all that rings a bell. I mean, it was great. We had like a big, I think they're called theatre weeks or music weeks or something, and that was really great. Obviously, you still had things like stretcher races and Mount Kelly Trophy and all the good things that come with it. And even though I think, oh gosh, that was A-level year, actually I have a smile on my face. So I must have still enjoyed elements of the A-level year and the scary year preparing for university, which Kelly did a really good job of.
Now, I love the way you're downplaying things here, because in my notes it tells me here that you were head girl in your final year. Tell us a little bit about that.
I was head girl in my final year. It taught me a lot about myself, a lot of leadership skills for sure, and time management. I was juggling a lot of different things, not with exams and things, but also with sort of lead chamber choir and head music scholar and head of hockey and all these other things that I was also doing on the side, if you will. So yeah, it was difficult to balance, but I sort of enjoyed a lot having to sort of be chucked in the deep end in a nice way and learn those sort of skills that most probably not everyone would have had the opportunity to have, and particularly the public speaking, and build on that and just going, you're going to read in front of the school every week and that's just part of it. And you go, oh gosh, that's really scary for the first few times. But actually, it's really helped, especially in my role now. I'm public facing in the healthcare sector, being able to talk to lots of people in with dinners when I was a head girl, or integrate with people in the community from all different backgrounds, is definitely a skill that I've been able to build in a safe environment and learn from others that I've now been able to use as within my career. So it was a really exciting opportunity that I know not everyone was able to get.
So then after leaving school, if you left in 2019 and went to university, you're one of those very unfortunate students who experienced COVID in your first year at university, I'm presuming, unless you took a gap year. But
I went straight through. So yes, my halfway through year one was lovingly hit by COVID. And then I came out the other side as year three and it all got a bit too serious. So yes.
Yeah, but it didn't put you off working in the field that you're in though, did it?
No, so I think age 16, I decided I wanted to be a pharmacist, and then I went straight through and I've just become a pharmacist. So I've sort of done the most direct route that you could possibly do, but turned out all right in the end. Yeah.
And a lot of times people, when they're younger, people when they're older as well, frankly, struggle to know what they want to do with their careers. But it sounds to me like you knew from a relatively young age. I mean, age 16, to know that you want to be a pharmacist is a great thing. But and here in your early 20s, I'm guessing, here you are actually doing that, which sounds fantastic. Yeah. And I'm presuming that you're happy doing that.
Yes.
Tell us how you feel the school helped you with that, but also how your friends and your family, your parents helped you with that as well.
Yeah, so I think I've always been quite a decisive character as it is. So I think that was quite helpful. Once I've sort of set sail, I invariably will go somewhere. So even if there was a deviation at time going, no, I want to do this, it was no, we're going to. And Joe, I absolutely love it. So it turns out fine. I think when I was younger at school, I had a love for chemistry, and that was only harnessed by my teachers, who sort of made me feel good and empowered and went, yeah, you're actually quite good at this. Even if I wasn't, but you know, it made me feel great.
I'm sure you were, Karis. I'm sure you were.
Well, hopefully. But yeah, so I think that was always something that I had a love for chemistry, which is most probably the question that I get the most of, why didn't you do medicine and become a doctor and not a pharmacist? It's because I love chemistry and not sort of the biology and the touching and going, find it a bit gross. But yeah, I think that's one thing that I've loved, and that was really built by my A-level chemistry teacher, who would do extra Saturday morning lessons for me to sort of build that love, but get me over the line and get me into pharmacy school. obviously, Kelly really teaches you to care about your community and have a really strong grounding that pharmacy really allows you to have, because you're invariably dealing with a really small sort of community that you're dealing with. But also, I think the balance, Kelly's always been really strong in having a balance, whether that be academia and extracurricular or things like that. And that's something that the pharmacy career allows me to have. So there's no on calls and nights and weekends. So I can go and still enjoy those hobbies that the sort of school built in me and enjoy those.
Music, I presume, being one of them.
Music is indeed one of them. So it's something that sort of had a back burner whilst I've been doing my degree and final year medical exams. But that is something that is sort of steadily working its way back in, which is nice.
Mm. Okay, so what happens now in the future, looking at Karis's future? Is it a long career in pharmacy? Do you have plans to do anything else? I mean, how do you see the rest of, well, I don't want to say the rest of your life, but at least the next 10, 15 years panning out?
Yeah, so it's really strange because I've sort of just had that sort of pinnacle moment where for the past sort of 6-7 years, I'm going to be a pharmacist, and it's only been since sort of this summer that that's come. So sort of take a moment. I'm still on extra professional courses now, but at least take a week or so of my life just to go, oh, we've made it and it's fine. But no, I think being able to help those in need. So there are particular areas I'm interested in, substance use disorder and Parkinson's disease. So that's sort of more neurological side of pharmacy and neuropharmacology I'm really interested in. So, you know, maybe try and work my way there and just work my way through. But there are no plans to sort of leave Devon and leave the moors. It's sort of an area that my family are from and I've grown up in. So I think being a pharmacist down in the southwest will be my forever plan, wherever that may lead me.
And you mentioned that your parents are professional musicians, not just as hobbyists or anything like that. So it's not like they are pharmacists or working in the medical industry themselves and sort of, you know, trying to channel that through you. Just tell us a little bit about them for a moment. What is it that they actually do?
Yeah, so my dad was in the Royal Marines band. So he joined when he was 16. He had, around 20-year career, and he was leading orchestras all over the world, performing all over the world for royalty and you name it. He's probably performed there. So he did that. And then when me and my brother were born, decided that being a dad was number one and thought teaching gave you lots of great holidays. And I think he's quickly realised that it doesn't. And there's a lot of work that goes into being a teacher. But I'm sure as a young Marine, he thought that will be easy. And has realised it's probably not.
By the way, every teacher, every member of the teaching staff at Kelly right now is nodding their heads and smiling at what you just said. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my dad. So he's a music teacher now in Plymouth. And then my mum is a music teacher at Kelly College, now Mount Kelly. And that's pretty much all she's done. She's loved it that much. My mum's outlived my career at Kelly. I think she's sort of touching 20-something years, maybe just over 20 years. So, you know, us Twymen sort of when we join are sort of there to stay because both me and my brother have done 16-odd years at Kelly and my mum's done over 20 years. So, yes, we're very much part of the furniture, I think, my family at this point. But, yeah.
And you're clearly someone who's gone through Kelly as a pupil. We have another recording with Marcus Coleridge, who's in a similar situation to yourself. He also went through Kelly. Did you know Marcus when you were there at school at the time?
Absolutely. So Marcus and I were very much ingrained in the music community, particularly with the choral aspect. So yeah, I do know Marcus very well, and he's still that sort of person that will come around my house all the time, as my younger brother and him are sort of best friends and go for runs all the time and still enjoy the music together. So I do know him very well, and you'll have a very good laugh with Marcus if Marcus is on top form.
Well, he's a great guy. He really is. But just before we finish this episode, tell us a little bit about that community. You just mentioned your brother. Mm. You mentioned that you do see Marcus. I mean, you know, what is that community like between yourself and the other pupils who also went through Kelly?
Yeah, so I think at Kelly, because there is such a strong emphasis on extracurricular, you sort of have people from every sort of walk of life joining these sort of clubs. Every year group, it's not sort of year 10s do that and year 9s do that. It's just, if you enjoy singing, come and sing. Or if you enjoy the outdoor ed, come and do 10 tours. There's none of this sort of segregated by, well, you're this, so you stick in that box. And there's a real acceptance that everyone just has a go. Everyone will get on with everyone. It's not silly, but everyone will just accept that everyone just has a go at everything. Mm. So, you know, we did lots of tours, particularly with Marcus in Italy and up to Birmingham, performing and competing with the choirs. And, you know, there's not most probably many schools where, you know, a boy 2 years younger will get on with people 2 years above of the different gender. So there are things that Kelly really allows that just everyone is part of this sort of family almost in this community. I mean, I remember in year six, I could say every single sort of person's first and surname within the whole of the primary school, because it was just a huge community where the year sixes would read to the nursery and right the way through. You'd have the overlap where it's not you're segregated by year groups or hobbies. You are just part of this big family. And what fun we had, really.
Karis, last question. If someone's listening to this and maybe they're a little bit older and they're joining the school, maybe they're joining into they're aged 11, so they're joining into year 7, maybe year 9 or something like that, or just joining into year 12 or year 13, what would you say to them? What advice would you give to someone who's actually joining the school?
I think make the most of every opportunity that you have. So I really did try everything, and for the most part I enjoyed it, but I think make the most of every opportunity. I think I was one of those people, my parents had to have a huge sacrifice to send me to the school for as many years as I did. And so the least that you can do is really just embrace everything that the school has to offer. Try everything. Even if you don't enjoy it, at least you now know you don't enjoy it. And just give everything a good go, even if you don't think you're going to enjoy it, you might. So I think that would be mine, is try everything and make the most of everything, because there is such a culture that everyone will just accept. Everyone just tries everything. Everyone gives everything a go. And that is just part of what we do at Kelly. And I think it's not silly. You're not going to be embarrassed. That is just what everyone does. Everyone give everything a go. And all you're going to do is probably regret not doing anything. And at least I can sort of stand here and go, I really did try everything. And there's nothing I didn't do. Go, damn, I should have done that, because I most probably did at one point. So most probably just give everything a go and enjoy it whilst it lasts. Because I just look back and I absolutely loved school. So, yeah, sort of reminisce.
Very wise words. Very, very wise words. And I think this is a great place to close down the episode. Karis, it's been fantastic talking to you. Thank you so much for your time, especially first thing in the morning. It's nearly 7 o'clock. Time for a coffee for sure. Have a great day at work. And thank you again for being here and talking to us on the school podcast.
Super. Thank you very much. Thank you.